a show at the West of Maine.
This is an interview with Louis Islin in Camden, Maine, September 30, 1981. Robert Brown, the interviewer. Well, you were last interviewed by us in 1969, and one of the things you discussed at great length in that previous interview was your involvement as a with various foundations that work with the arts. For example, one is was the Guggenheim Foundation, which you continued into the 1970s.
I continued into the 1970s. I was a juror for them for a total of, I think it was 11 years. And the policy of the Guggenheim Foundation, which was set by Henry Moe, who first set the thing up, was he believed that if you believed in the taste of a man, there's no reason to get another one the next year, and that there should be a continuing sense of taste while the jurors go on. And slowly, with time, one would stop off and a new one would come on, and finally, and I had been there obviously long enough, and should be replaced by someone else, and it was perfectly agreeable. I was felt that I had done it enough and it should stop. And I really enjoyed, in the end, working with the people who were completely differently trained than I was, notably Henry Gelsaller and Bob Motherwell. And that was the replacements that came in, and towards the end I worked with them. Mm-hmm. And then I've gone on.
What did your work consist of for the
Guggenheim? Oh, the Guggenheim, we would have, in the very early days, we had literally pictures to look at. And then in the latter part of the thing, it was done from slides. But the Guggenheim had a policy that you would select, you'd refine it down to about 20 people. And then they would ask for objects, and the jury would reassemble a month later and look at objects, real paintings and sculptures by the people that they had, this smallish group, and from that they would cut that again in part, cut it down some. But the fallacy in this was, or the failure towards the end when I was there, and I do not know whether they're still doing this, that no one could afford to send the big pictures. And you would like Mr. So-and-so's work, but the slide that you would like was owned by somebody and was unavailable. You couldn't look at it. And so what you got was what the dealer had on hand, basically, and they were small and very often uninteresting works because they were available, and they were badly lit. And if your piece looks well in the 7 Santini Brothers storage warehouse, believe me, it's a masterpiece. And the answer to this subject of how you select is, after considerable many years of experience, I am in an absolute quandary as to how to do it. We are now faced with the problem of doing it entirely from slides. The Tiffany Foundation, of which I was the president until last year, had recently held 2 national competitions. They were biannuals. The reason we did the biannual was because it's cost so much to have a competition that by doing it, we save money by doing it biannually. And we asked for slides. We had the first competition, we had 2,000 applicants, the second one a few hundred less than that. I've forgotten exactly what it was. But the point is, if you look at 9,000 slides, it's an impossible situation. You can only ask the jurors to come and devote their time for a minute. I mean, you can't ask them too much of them. Their eyes go crazy. You suddenly realize after a very short period of time you're not looking at the artist's color at all. You're looking at Eastman color, which is very limited. All the pictures are the same size. In your mind, no matter how often you are told this is an 8x10 picture, it's how it's projected on the screen is what it is. And the summation of my experience in this is that the man who gets the